What we do here in the church as we gather on Sundays is a taste, a reflection of what it will be when the Lord returns, what heaven is to be like. This is our act of worship to God. And I'm so faithful that He creates this sacred space, this holy grounds where we can gather together. Just worship and share and find hope even in this chaotic world. Amen? Would you rise to your feet? We're going to read out of Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. In Isaiah 7, the prophet writes, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' Then Isaiah said, 'Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And when we hear this passage, the woman will be with child, the virgin will be with child, depending on what translation you have. And they'll bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. We immediately, from where we're at in our posture, will say, okay, well, they're talking about Mary and Jesus, right? I saw one of my new favorite Christmas meme, and it's got a picture of Jesus and all of creation, an icon, and it says, what is it? Infinite power of the universe. And then the next one's of Mary and Jesus is itty bitty little space. Okay? Some of you get it. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? If you don't get it, go watch Aladdin. It's very important. So this is what we think of when we read this passage. But it's also very important, as I've talked about through the prophets, that we understand that when this was spoken to the prophets, it wasn't necessarily meant to say, okay, you should know that there's this Jesus going to come through this virgin and this is what's going to happen. It was meant to address this real thing that's happening at that time to that person. And this was, well, 500 years before Jesus is born that the prophet Isaiah had spoke these words. Now, here's what's happening. Ahaz is the king. He's from the line of David. And Ahaz finds himself surrounded by two enemies. By these other enemies who come and destroy him. And he's thinking, I'm going to get killed here. There's no way that I can win the battle. These two are up against me. They've blockaded Jerusalem. They probably cut off my water supplies. We're in trouble. I'm in a world of hurt here. And so he prays, or he goes to the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah says, look, the Lord is going to redeem you. He's going to free you from this. He's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. God's got it. Now, when you're in a place in life where everything is bad, everything's falling apart, it's kind of nice to have a prophet come up to you, especially a prophet like Isaiah, who everybody knows is holy, right? And he's like, I've already been in the throne room, seen God. It was really cool. A little angel came, touched my tongue with the coals. Like, Isaiah has been there and done that, right? And you want that prophet to come and say, look, I see how bad it is going, but check it out. God sends a message. Say, he's got your back. Don't worry about it. That would be good news, right? Wouldn't that make you feel better? Should. But to be fair, that's kind of what we say now, that God's got it, that God's got this thing. But Ahaz is still afraid. Ahaz is worried. It says that he is worried because here he is before these two kings that he's in dread of, right? They're going to destroy him. He's totally worried about what's going to happen. He's told that God's got his back. And to ensure that he knows this, Isaiah even tells him, look, this is such a sure thing. It says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, you know what? Ask a sign of the Lord your God. And don't just ask for something little. Ask for something that is as high as heaven or as low as Sheol, right? Like from the highest heights to the lowest depths, whatever it is, the deepest depths, whatever you can imagine. This is how certain it is that God is going to do this thing for you. Ask for a sign for him to show you that. His God, he says, the Lord your God wants him to ask for something big. This is where Ahaz kind of winces a bit and he gets really scared. You see, Ahaz was afraid to ask for anything big from God. The reason? Quite simply because what if God doesn't deliver? I mean, it's one thing to ask for an incidental from God, that if it goes well, cool, and if not, well, it's God's will. We can write it off to that. But if I ask for something big and you don't come through, it's obvious you didn't give it to me, right? The bigger the thing we ask, the more obvious it's going to be if we didn't receive what it is that we asked for. And what if God doesn't come through? What if God leaves me hanging in this thing? There are a lot of things that we are afraid today to ask God for. Every single one of us deal with this. We'll talk about it. We'll gather in the church, say, yeah, bring it to God. We should pray about it. Would you please pray for me? But we're afraid to actually ask God. We'll ask others, hey, why don't you ask God for me? You know, it's kind of like Isaac. You know, the kids do this to Isaac. Isaac, you go ask mom, mostly because Isaac has no fear of death. And Isaac's got this really great, charming way about him, right? If you're around Isaac, he knows how to kind of charm. So he's like, hey, mom, can we maybe do this and this, right? So you go do it because I'm afraid to ask. And why are we afraid to ask? Because once our parents say no, what does that mean? It's done, right? If you get a maid, if you get whatever, it's fine. But you have to always be careful how you ask that question, right? You've all been children. We know that. Like, you have to carefully contemplate the phrasing of the question. Because if I get a no back, it's done. Like, it's almost impossible to fix that. It's dead in the water. I want something that can kind of go there. So we're afraid to ask because we're afraid of the response. And to be fair, in our life, we have a lot of big things that we're afraid to ask of God, because once we get a no, our hope that maybe he'll just do it out of whatever reason kind of goes away. We're afraid so many times to ask for full healing from someone who's in stage 4 cancer, right? We're afraid to ask God to fix this thing that's happening in our lives. I'm afraid to ask God to relieve me of this guilt that I feel from whatever that's happened in my life. I'm afraid to ask God to take away my discomfort. I'm afraid to ask God to make me feel normal again. I'm afraid to ask God to fix the problems that I have in my marriage. I'm afraid to ask God to help my children completely and to heal them. I'm afraid to ask God for big things in this world, because what if he doesn't do anything? If he doesn't, then that's my last hope and it's gone. So here's Ahaz, afraid to ask for anything big. I think of when I was going through this, I couldn't help but think of Ralphie from A Christmas Story. We haven't watched that yet this year. How many people have watched The Christmas Story this year already? We got one. We got a couple of you amazing people who know what Christmas is about. How many of you have seen The Christmas Story? I'm hoping everybody, if you haven't, you need to go watch The Christmas Story. It's so important, right? I mean, come on. There's something about that one-legged lamp that just, I don't get it. But I want one. I do. I want one. That's how I decorate the yard next year. But here's the thing with Ralphie, and this is why it made me think of Ralphie. Because the impossible thing that Ralphie wants is what? The official Red Ryder Carbon Action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing that tells time. Right? That's what Ralphie wants. And I love, you know, when he first comes out and he's talking about a dream about it, he's in the kitchen with his mom. And his mom's like, Ralphie, what do you want? He says, I know I shouldn't have said it, but it just came out. I want an official Red Ryder Carbon Action 200 shot range model air rifle. And what does mom say? No. You'll shoot your eye out. Oh, no, he says. It was the classic mother BB gun block. It's done. His mom said, no, I can't go that route. That route has been shut. So what does he do? He thinks, well, maybe I'll go to another authority figure. And so he writes it on his paper to his teacher. And he gets the note back. Says, you'll shoot your eye out in red pen. Oh. My mom says no. My teacher says no. And so Ralphie comes up with, I think, is probably the creepiest part of any Christmas movie ever. And that includes Gremlins. When Ralphie goes to the mall, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? And they have the go visit Santa. He says, there it is. I've just got to bring it to the big man himself. He's the one who delivers. He's the one who can do this. He has the power to give me anything that I want. And Ralphie, like a lot of us, goes through the trek. Climb up, they got this big giant Santa up on a hill. You climb up the ladder to go see Santa, tell him what you want. The elf gives you a candy cane, and you slide the slide back down the bottom into this cotton snowy stuff, which really sounds amazing, right? Until you get up there. And I love the way they depict it, because this is how I remember seeing Santa Claus when I was a kid. And for those of you parents who you see this beautiful Santa Claus and you put your kid on his lap and you're wondering why your child starts screaming, because this is what your child sees. This is the imagery of this creepy Santa up there, and Ralphie's so intimidated, sitting on his lap, and the elf's like, what do you want, kid? Spitting on him, and Ralphie's just so nervous, like, oh. So they give him a candy cane, and Ralphie's worried, I blew it. I was so afraid to ask him. And so he goes to go down the slide, but Ralphie, in this amazing moment, this epic moment, stops himself from going down the slide. And he turns around, and he can't give up, and he crawls back up the slide, which is awesome, right? We've all been there. He crawls back up the slide, and he looks at Santa Claus, and he says, No, I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot Range Rover model air rifle. And he smiles. Santa Claus looks at him and says, just shoot your eye out, kid. Vroom! And shoves him down the slide. We are so afraid to ask God for big things because this is how we see him. We're afraid that he's going to say no. He's going to reject this thing that we ask for. And if we ask him, once we ask him and he says no, that's it. There's no hope for it anymore. We're so afraid to lose hope for peace, lose hope that we can move on in our lives. We're afraid to actually ask God, to genuinely ask him. We'll hint at it, we'll beat around the bush, we'll be passive about it. But we're afraid to genuinely bring it to God, say, here's this thing, I'm giving it to you. Will you please fix this? And I'm done with it. And God tells Ahaz, you need to have faith in me through this impossible situation. He tells him he's going to get him through this. In fact, he even warns him, and he warns us, and this is important. He says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you shall not stand at all. If you don't have faith in God, you're not going to stand at all. You're going to lose everything. We need to be able to have faith in God for these things. We need to be able to bring them to him, to pray to him. This is why I think we struggle with coming like on Monday nights. And it's not even because it's another thing to our list. And it is. It's another thing to all the things that we have. You know, I've got four kids. I get it. They got sports. They got karate. They got this. They got that. We have work. We have everything else. We're tired. We're traveling. We come in. It's late. Blah, 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 blah. We all have life. Listen, look around you. Every person here has all these things happening. You're not the only one. Every single person here has that. And we all have to budget our time and say, you know what? This is a value to me. This is a value to me. And what happens is on Monday nights when we gather for an hour of prayer, many of us don't come because we don't value that time. Why would I bring that to God? I need to go out and work, or I need to go be with my kids during this time. I need to go support this. I need to go support that. And so prayer, this asking of God, doesn't happen because we're afraid. I'm not going to waste my time there, because if I go waste my time standing in line at the mall forever to talk to Santa, I finally get up there and he's just going to kick me down the slide anyway. I've got better things to do. So we don't even ask him at all. We're afraid to ask him to help us think because we want to hang on to him a lot of times. I love to hang on to my misery. I want to hang on to my guilt. I want to hang on to my shame. I want to hang on to this thing that's hurting me because it's all that I have. And even if it is bad, at least it's a part of me and I know how to deal with it. And we need to let those things go and give them to God and trust him for them. But we're afraid of this because we see God when we get him. He's easy from here. When we're far away, we kind of separate ourselves and we just put him in the form of a cross. We don't actually have to see him. We don't have to worry about him actually, you know, seeing his presence. But when Isaiah walked into the throne room, when Isaiah saw him, Isaiah didn't go, oh, you're so cute and cuddly, God. He said, woe is me. I am undone. And this is what we're afraid of. We're afraid of that God. So we're not going to ask him. He doesn't love me enough to do that. He's not compassionate enough to do that. And when we do that, whether we realize it or not, here's the other thing about it, is it affects our relationship with God. If you stop having faith in God, if you don't bring these big things to God, if you're not willing to let it go and just drop it and say, here it is, God, I'm done, I'm giving it to you, I'm going to trust you for this big thing, I'm going to trust you for a full healing, I'm going to trust you to get rid of my shame, I'm going to trust you to forgive me and to make it right, I'm going to trust you to get rid of my loneliness, I'm going to trust you for whatever it is, I'm going to bring all of these things to you. If you do not do those things, then what happens is your relationship with God actually becomes severed. It starts to suffer. Notice at the beginning, he says, the Lord, your God will do this for you. But because of Ahaz's lack of faith in God, it affected his relationship with God. And in verse 13, it says, then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little or too for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? He's no longer your God. You didn't have faith in him. Now he's my God. You're losing that relationship with God because you're afraid to bring this to him. You're afraid to trust him for this big thing. Yahweh was no longer described as Ahaz's God, but rather just Isaiah's God. And so we need to have enough faith and trust in God that we can bring him anything and ask him for anything, knowing that he is working for our good. Even better than we could have imagined. And he is working towards our love. But here's love. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Even in Ahaz's unfaithfulness, even in our unfaithfulness, God is faithful. Can you imagine this love that God has for us? This love that he has for you. I want you to imagine, to use your Holy Spirit-led divine imagination, to imagine what would happen if we would let go and we would go all in on God and not be afraid to ask him to do the impossible. Not be afraid to ask him for the big, great things in this world. To realize that he truly is Emmanuel, God with us. That he is here even now. I want to invite the team to come back up. This last week has been very, very difficult. On Wednesday, I was sitting in my office. Hannah and Isaac were at home. And I heard two gunshots. I knew there were gunshots immediately, and I got up to look out the window of my office, tried to throw up my broken sash, and I seen the three boys running right here in front of the church, and I knew that they were the ones who fired. I didn't know what had happened yet, but I just knew that they fired a gun somehow. I just assumed they robbed the store. And I tried catching them on film, but they ran across the parking lot and through the field, and I got out the back door, and I whistled at them, and they turned around. And all I could see was these kids. I couldn't tell you anything else about them, but they couldn't have been 15, 16 years old. These boys were smaller than Kyle in size. By the time I came back and was going to go see what happened, I seen the police running in. I walked across the street and I walked into the Save Mart. And as I was walking towards the Save Mart, I seen a trail of blood going in there. I walked into the door and I saw another 16-year-old kid with a gunshot. That night, I found my heart going out for the three boys that were running away. I have a good friend who's serving life in prison for murder. We talk regularly. He's been there for 17 years now. He says the thing that he tells his kids, his two kids, one of them wasn't even born when he went into prison, is 15 seconds. He says that's how long it takes to kill another human being. He says that's how long it takes to absolutely put your life on a course that you can never bring it back from. And I thought of that as I thought of these three boys, because I don't know what it was that caused this to happen. I don't know the details, but I know this much. That their lives have gone on a path that is just so difficult for them now. If they get caught, their futures are ruined. If they don't get caught, their futures are ruined. I thought about the boy who was shot, and I could hear people screaming in there. I don't know if it was his mother who was crying. I seen his friends and the fear in their eyes who were telling the police about what had happened. Right here in our front yard. Right here, actually right in front of Shanoa's mom's house across the street. Man, Lord, what if we just tried to end that? We're afraid to pray, Lord, just end the violence completely. We laugh at the idea of world peace, right? Because that's a silly thing that Miss America asks for. It's not a realistic goal. But man, our God spoke, and that which didn't even exist leapt into existence to obey. So let me tell you something. Healing our community is not beyond what our God can do.
Amen.
Maybe we should pray for that. Maybe we should not be afraid to pray for ourselves for these big things. So here's what I want to do. Each one of us has things on our heart. I know everybody here does, but I'm going to leave that to you. But I would ask you, how many of you have something so big that you struggle with actually trusting God for? Whether it be peace of mind, freedom to take the next step and to be happy. Freedom to allow God to forgive you, to forgive yourself. How many of you struggle with forgiving others for things that they've done to you, or are afraid to pray that God will bring a complete healing into something that was gone because you don't believe it can happen? If this is you, I want to ask you to stand up. The last three nights, they've had the warming center opened up. Two nights in a row, Kathy and Luca went down there faithfully. Nobody showed up. They were there. Last night, they went down there. And Jacob and Josh Grudem, a couple of our youth, showed up down there to take the first shift.
Amen.
That's the problem. So Kathy and Luca left them there. The night before, Brother Abraham had gone down, and my fault. I thought it was last night he was going to go, and I didn't tell him they closed. Lewis is so excited to show up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning to be there and help them. Because we're not afraid to ask God for the big things. Every single one of us deals with stuff that we're afraid to deal with. So as the team plays, what I want us to do is this. All those who are standing, if you would, I want to invite you to come down and just ask God for those things you're afraid to ask Him. Come down to the altars and let me pray for you. And if others want, you can come down and pray for your brothers and sisters, because we're a house that needs to be praying. So come down to these altars and just ask God and be done with it. And trust Him that He'll forgive you. Trust Him that He will let you move on. Trust Him that He can fix this. Trust Him that He can bring peace into our community. Trust Him. He can do all of these things. And because we're a house of prayer, don't worry, at the end of the day, we're all going to end up down here. I want us to come down here also. Maybe it's not for you, but I want you to come down and pray the big things that we need. I want you to pray for those who are freezing out there, that they would find peace, whether it be the mental health, freedom from addiction, homes, community, whatever it is. Come down and pray for them then, and ask God that God would take care of that. And then for others, I want you to come down here and I want you to pray for God to heal our community of this violence, to heal our community of these kids who think that they need to find family within violence and gangs because they don't have anywhere else to go. And that God would open us and make us a place where they can find community, where they can find a house, where they can find the love of Christ. Amen? So I invite you all, let's come down and let us pray to the Lord. Let us invite Emmanuel.